From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homeland of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Today, we have previews of three big events happening this weekend: the 16th Annual Maritime Festival from the Juneau Economic Development Council, Alaska Robotics Minicon Comic Convention, and Juneau Dance Theater's Spring Showcase. That's all coming up this hour on Juneau Afternoon. But first, this week's Thinkit Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Thinkit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinok John Martin. And the word this week is tlach.
Tlach.
That means red cedar. And here is a sentence.
Kutia. Kutia on the sich. Yes. Tlach.
They made totem poles with red cedar. Let's hear it again.
Tlach.
Red cedar. Gunashchish to Khne Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinok John Martin was Dakdane Tan and a child of a Kagwantan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe, Skagway, and attended Gonzaga University.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juneau at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com. Federally insured by NCUA. You're listening to community-supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO, 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. The 16th Juneau Maritime Festival is this Saturday, May 9th. It's going to be at the Parachevich Plaza, downtown Juneau, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., we've got live entertainment, 100 vendors, more than 100 vendors, a beer garden, 45-minute Allen Marine Harbor cruises with live entertainment, a tug-of-war contest at 3 p.m. on the Seawalk is just some of the fun that can be had. And I welcome now to the studio, we have Brian Holst with the Juneau Economic Development Council. Gunashchish, Brian, welcome in. Thanks so much for being here today.
Good afternoon. Glad to be here.
Thank you. We also have Brian Maldonado, who's a plant manager for Taku Smokeries. Gunashchish, wasiati. How are you today, Brian?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. And we also have Captain Stan Fields, the Sector Southeast Alaska Commander with the U.S. Coast Guard. Gunashchish.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me here today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio. Okay, Brian, let's start with you. Even though it's been going on for 16 times now, I don't know if that's 16th annual, but 16 times for sure. Probably one of those years during those years
COVID
we forget.
Year. Yeah.
We don't talk about. But what is the Maritime Festival?
Yeah, it's an opportunity to celebrate Juneau's maritime commerce, culture, and history. We just felt it is an important part of our economy, all things maritime, from the service provided to the people earning a living on the sea. And we just wanted an opportunity to celebrate that from the earliest days of thousands of years of living off the sea is just really core to Juneau. And we thought important to recognize that. So it's a celebration.
Were you around when it first kicked off all those years ago?
Yes, I was. Yes,
awesome.
I was. Yeah.
And so when you all created the thought of this, I'm just curious, like, what was that inciting moment of like, okay, we want to do something. Where did the idea come from?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that, because it's just a recognition of how important it is to our economy. And people need to be aware of how many people make their livelihoods off the sea so that we can also be supportive of them, because it's really a key part of Juneau's culture. When you think about the industry side, seafood processing, you know, if we manage that well, Juneau should be processing seafood, enjoying seafood forever. And so that really is a perspective that's important, mm-hmm. because that should frame how we think about the investments we make, how we train workers, how we develop new products, because it could be something that we do forever.
And this is not just for those in the maritime arenas, right? This is for the general public to come and enjoy.
Absolutely. And but all of us in Juneau, if you just take a minute to think about it, we're all connected to the sea. Our goods come up on barges, right? We there's almost no way to avoid it. Wish we had a stronger ferry system. I'll just get that in there. But we do appreciate it when our ferries are running.
Right, for sure. Yeah, it's an interesting thing because we are surrounded by water. Obviously, everyone who lives in Juneau knows that you can only get here by boat or plane, and that's part of what we do here is live on the water, basically. So it's a big part of our culture here. And has been for, you know, tens of thousands of years, which is awesome.
And we start the festival, I think, I'm glad you mentioned that, because we start the festival with the One People Canoe Society.
Oh, nice.
As a traditional opening. So they'll start in Douglas, they'll canoe at 9-ish in the morning, they'll canoe a few miles up the channel to arrive at about 11 a.m., and that's how we start the festival every year.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they're received by the Yiskew dancers.
Yeah.
And that's our nod to the long culture and history.
Yeah, for
maritime.
Sure. Yeah, that's awesome. So you put, so the JEDC, the Juneau Economic Development Council, you all put the festival together. You invite all the participants, you get everybody in, but there's other people behind the scenes, right, that get all this done. Do you have a team that you work with to put this thing together? I know we're going to talk to the people who are sponsoring the event here in a second, but like who's all actually working on this?
Right, and we have a steering committee that we bring together. Critical partner is the CBJ Docks and Harbors, led by Carl Yucatel. And on our staff, we have a staff member, Kirsty LaFollette. She's our lead for the last several years. And then we have 70 partners.
Wow.
That are either in-kind contributors or financial contributors, so that the event is free to the public.
Awesome. So there's no ticket charge for this?
No,
there might be.
Charge.
I know there's like
there's opportunities to do some fundraising.
Yeah, and there's probably like food booths and things like that, right? There's all kinds of things going on there. I've got the flyer up for those who might be on the stream. You can also find this at jadc.org/maritimefestival. But there's food vendors there's so many Forner Rosas on here, Four Plates, El Taco Azteca, which I just had the other day. Mwah, so good. There's so many good things on here. I can't mention everybody, but there's just a lot of food that will be had, including some stuff from Taku Smokeries, which we'll get to in just a second. There's a beer garden. And there's also going to be, this is cool, I just want to mention this. You mentioned the Yiskew dancers, but there's going to be music and different things going all day. You've got some MCs on here. You've got Steady Going. I saw somebody online was like, the Honey Badgers? I can't believe I'm going to get to see the Honey Badgers, which is kind of cool. So that's kind of cool. So there's a lot of things. And then the Rain Dogs, local awesome band, will be closing it out that night.
Yeah, we have 127 vendors this year. We are max capacity.
You're going to be filling up that plaza.
It is going to be fun. And it's rain or shine. And the event works. We have tents. If it's a Juneau day, we're still going to be out there, and we expect you to show up and support.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, cool. So let me talk to you, Brian, from Taku Smokeries. So tell me a little bit about how Taku Smokeries gets involved with this, why they want to be involved with Maritime Festival.
Well, this is actually my first year with the Maritime Festival. I'm fairly new to Juneau. I've been here for about 6 months now.
Welcome.
Thank you. Though I've been working in the Southeast since 2009, but
okay.
I haven't been here in Juneau. This was kind of put on my lap a few weeks ago, and I just kind of passed over. I thought it was just something that someone was asking for, so maybe fish for something that was going on in town. And then I started getting more emails for it, and our retail director started asking me more about it, if I had spoken to Christy and anyone else. And the last few weeks, I've seen that, yes, there's a steering committee, and they're the gears behind the clock, making the hands go round and telling you what time it is. But it's so efficient, so easy for us that basically what we're going to do at Taku, and I believe this is what we have been doing in cooperation with AGS down there in our town, is we have the fish booth. So we have our flayers will come in. They'll do filleting demonstrations for the public, for the tourists that come in.
Nice.
We're not going to let tourists fillet any fish. That's not going to happen.
What if they're Junoites, though? What if they say, liability issues, of course.
If they walk up with their own knife, then you know they're a filleter. And then they can start filleting. So we're going to be filleting rockfish.
Oh, nice.
And so you got to hold it a certain way anyway because of the spines.
Yeah.
And we're going to fillet it, and then we'll barbecue it up. We have a special rub made for it. And I think it'd be good. Our production manager, Chucho, he tested some a couple of weeks ago, and everybody seemed to love it. Everybody liked it. So I think we're going to be good. And I'm looking forward to continuing our cooperation with JEDC and the Maritime Festival for many years to come.
That's great.
And they give it away. This is fish that Alaska Leisure Seafoods and Taku Smokeries donates.
Yes, it is all donated.
Enjoys it.
Oh, yes. Interesting. Okay, so that booth, no charge, right?
Yeah, there's always a nice long line.
For first come, first serve, better get in line.
Absolutely. We will also be providing the ice for the beer garden.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah. And we were just talking about that earlier. I don't know if you want to mention it or...
Yeah, don't eat the ice. But there's a reason. It's clean ice, but it doesn't taste so good. Why, Brian?
Well, the ice has a higher salinity level. And the fishermen love it because it keeps it frozen longer.
Oh.
It's still edible. It's still ice. It's just water and ice and salt, but there's just more salt than people might be used to.
It's going to be pretty salty to the taste, but that helps keep it frozen longer.
Yes.
And
I've heard that in years past, people have come by and just scooped handfuls of it.
So, Brian's ruining the fun. We kind of like to watch people. They stick it in their soda, and then they're like, what's going on?
That little 10-year-old who comes by says, Mom, I want some ice. If Mom knows, she's like, go ahead, Jeffrey, go ahead.
It's like, when your grandma is cooking with bitter chocolate, and you grab it off the counter before you have a chance.
Right, right. And you're like, wait a minute, this isn't chocolate. Like, I know it's supposed to be. Well, that's really cool. Well, I'm glad you're here in Juneau now working with Taku Smokeries, and I'm glad you're giving away fish on Saturday. Does that start right at 11 when it opens? You'll be ready to go?
No, we'll be there beforehand to get everything prepped with us and AGS.
No, I mean, if I show up at 11, can I get some fish?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, first come, first serve, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
I think what we probably should do is already have fish on the grill ready to go by opening, and then we can do the fillet demonstrations for everybody. Again, if you are a filleter in town, we're not going to let you fillet fish.
Nice. I think it's great. You show up a little bit early, see the One People Canoe Society, the dancers, and the welcoming, and then you grab some fish, and then you see all these other booths that are around. It's amazing what's going to be happening on Saturday. And, of course, you got to get the fish in your system, get that protein to get ready for the tug-of-war, which is at 3. Before I talk to Stan here, how does the tug-of-war work? Do you have to sign up with a crew, or can I go – if I just want to show up, can I be part of it?
Well, you need – 8 people. Well, you can have as few as 6 if you really think you can do this, but I would recommend bringing 8.
Okay.
And you need at least 2 members of the opposite sex on your team.
Okay.
Right? Just to kind of keep it fun.
Right.
And it's a serious trophy. Cruise Lines offers the trophy. It's a couple feet tall.
Oh, wow.
And it is, I think it's with the Coast Guard currently. But I think Docks and Harbors would like it
back.
I've
been with the Coast Guard for the last 4 years.
Actually. I love that. That's going to be very cool. That's awesome. Okay, so Captain Fields, tell me a little bit about the U.S. Coast Guard and their involvement here in the Maritime. Obviously, I know we here may not always see the Coast Guard, but you are active every day out on the water. You are doing things to protect Juneau and monitor the seas. Tell me a little bit about what you all do and why you want to be involved with the Maritime Festival.
Well, thank you, Boston. I appreciate you having us here today. So the Coast Guard's been involved in or active in Alaska here for over 150 years and here in the Juneau area for over 100 years. And that's because this is a maritime community. As Brian was talking about earlier, everything that we do relies on maritime transportation, whether that's bringing in goods, equipment, whether it's bringing in fuel. So the Coast Guard has been involved settled here for a long time. And I want to thank the community of Juneau and all throughout Southeast Alaska for how welcoming they've been to Coast Guard members. It's just amazing how welcome we've been. And Juneau last year was designated an official Coast Guard city by the Coast Guard Commandant, which was a great feat and a great testament to the city of Juneau and the support of our members here in Juneau. We have almost 300 people that are stationed in Juneau alone, and we're just members of the community. So our people are coaching hockey teams, kids' hockey teams, basketball teams, and track and field teams. So we're just excited to be here and glad to be members of the community.
Yeah, I've had many members on the show, maybe not of the Coast Guard, but partners, husbands, wives, whatever it might be, who've come on and been like, I'd be always asked, like, what brought you to Juneau? And they're like, my husband or my wife, mm-hmm. or whatever. They're in the Coast Guard. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So they become members of the community. And you said there's about 300 right now?
In Juneau.
In Juneau.
Sir.
Okay, yeah. And there's going to be a little bit more, right, when we get the cutter is going to be here.
Right, the Coast Guard cutter storage. Yeah, it's supposed to be home ported here in Juneau.
So there'll be some community members living here before they go off and for months and months and do what they need to do, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. So why? What's important about being part of this Maritime Festival?
Well, it's part of our heritage. It's inextricably intertwined with the maritime domain and here in the communities throughout Southeast Alaska. So the Coast Guard is going to be bringing over the Coast Guard cutter Reef Shark, and that's the 87-foot coastal patrol boat that's home ported here in Juneau. It's going to be down at the floating pier in front of the plaza.
Oh,
and,
cool!
And it's actually going to be open for tours. So if people are able to bring their identification, if they have an ID, they can get on board and get a tour with the crew. Station Juneau, which is obviously based out of here in Station Juneau, they'll have a 29-foot response boat that will be trailered over on the south end of the seawalk there for people to talk to the crew and take a look at that asset. We also are going to have three different tents available. So the Coast Guard Auxiliary will be there talking a little bit about what they do, which is they do boat exams and can provide people with advice about how to be a little bit safer on the water, filing float plans, making sure you have a couple of different ways to communicate in case you lose one of those, and different types of safety gear that you need to have on board. We'll also have our active duty members, and they'll have some of our equipment on display. Right now, we're going to have an unmanned underwater vehicle that'll be on display. Ooh, they'll talk a little bit about how they use that for some of our missions. And we also will have the Chief Petty Officers Association, which is not affiliated necessarily with the Coast Guard. It's a nonprofit, and they're dedicated towards supporting Coast Guard members. But they'll be there as well. And at 12:15, we have a helicopter demonstration. So Air Station Sitka will bring out an MH-60 helicopter and do a rescue swimmer demonstration.
Whoa.
There in the channel with a 45-foot response boat from Station Juneau. We'll have Captain Jansen. Vincent Jansen, who used to be the Air Station Sitka CO, is going to come out and tell people a little bit about what that entails as far as the helicopter demonstration.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel like a big kid, you know, because I think one of it is like, I mean, it's cool to go see the boats and stuff, but I also imagine like you bring your family out to this event, mm-hmm. Very family-friendly event, and you can, you know, it's just the wide-eyed kids who get to go on the boats and see that stuff. But I'm a wide-eyed kid when I get to do that because I never, you know, you don't have that opportunity often, right? So it's just so cool. I love the idea, too, of the sort of the rescue demonstration in the water. That's going to be really cool. So you're going to be well represented on Saturday.
Yes, sir. We have, like I said, three tents. We'll have a couple assets out there for tour and display and the helicopter demonstration.
That's very cool.
And then we're also looking forward to the 3 p.m. tug-of-war competition and defending the title. So we're pretty excited
about
it.
Brian, you got to get a Taku Smoker's crew going over there.
Yeah, I wasn't too familiar with that. Maybe we should get some guys out there.
It's a thing. Well, thank you so much. This is the Juneau Maritime Festival, the 16th version of this. It's this Saturday, May 9th at Piratchevich Plaza downtown from 11 to 7. There's free fish. There's Coast Guard demonstrations, music all day long, rain or shine, Brian Holst from the JEDC says. So get on out there and bring your family. Is there anything in last that you want to mention, Brian, before we go?
Well, just that the from 11 to 5 is the main festival, and then we extend until 7 o'clock. We have the Huna Totem stage with just music with the Navy Band coming back to Juneau this year.
Awesome. Yeah, we're going to have the Navy Band on Juneau afternoon this Friday. They're going to fill up. They're going to bring their music, and it's going to be we're going to blow the studio out here on Friday. So, but go catch them on Saturday during the music portion. They're going to be at the music portion, or will they be playing all day?
They're going to be at the music portion in the evening. We're going to wrap it up with the Navy Band.
Awesome. That sounds so cool. It's the Juneau Maritime Festival. You can find out more at jedc.org/maritimefestival. Stan, Brian, thank you so much, Gun the Cheese, for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Coral reefs are extraordinarily diverse ecosystems, home to fish, sea turtles, and countless other marine species. But reefs are in trouble. Climate change is causing more heat waves in the oceans, and when corals get hot, they bleach, expelling the algae that give them vibrant colors and food. With time, bleached corals can recover, but they often die if heat waves last too long or occur repeatedly.
When you see one of these beautiful ecosystems with so much diversity and so much going on, and you see it die before your very eyes, it's just heartbreaking.
C. Mark Aiken is the former head of Coral Reef Watch at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. In a new study, he and his colleagues found that a 2014 to 2017 heat wave caused moderate or more severe bleaching in more than half of the world's reefs. And it caused moderate or greater mortality in 15% of reefs. Some groups are working to restore reefs, but as the climate warms, intense heat waves continue to put coral reefs in peril.
So the most important thing we can do right now is to address climate change. If we don't do that, the rest of it is going to be futile.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juneau Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm Boston Christopher. The Alaska Robotics Mini-Con will be this Saturday, May 9th, from 10 to 5 p.m. at the Alaska State Museum. Guest artists, comics, board games, costumes, workshops, drawing hangouts, stickers, music, and oh, so much more. And in the studio now, I've got co-owner of Alaska Robotics, Pat Race. Gonna cheese. Welcome in. Wasiati, Pat. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you doing, Boston?
I'm excellent. I also have Ren Strapp, comic artist, designer, and gender nonconforming lesbian werewolf.
Hello.
Hello. I love your bio. It's so good. I love that one. And then I have Kat say it for me.
Cloco.
That's great. You are an artist, cartoonist, and you also run Corpse Flower Press.
Yes, I do.
That's awesome. Cloco. That's a great name.
Yes, it is.
I love that name.
It's an icebreaker. Everyone's just like, how do you pronounce that? I'm like, I have a surprise for you.
Yeah.
It's Cloco.
Yeah, because I'm sure everybody, like I did when you first came into the studio, I was like, is it Clacco or Cloco? And you said, guess what?
You want to hear the most random version of my name?
Yeah.
Cluckman.
Cluckman?
Cluckman. Somehow they got an M and an N involved in the last name.
And an A or something. Yeah. There's nothing in there because K-L-O-C-K-O-W. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, welcome in. Goodness cheese for being here. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having us. This
yeah,
is wonderful.
Of course. So, Pat, let's start at the beginning just
sure.
because I think there's a lot of people in town who know of Mini-Con. They definitely know of Alaska Robotics up there on Franklin Street, across from Amalgo Distillery. Awesome new space you've been in for. I feel like new seems old because it seems like it's been a couple years.
Yeah, a couple years now. Yeah, we're settling in. We're starting to feel like ours now.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. But let's talk about MiniCon. What is MiniCon?
This is a tiny sized comic convention for Juno. It's like a 1 day comic convention, and it's we used to go out and exhibit a lot at different conventions, and so we decided one of our favorite things about it was spending time with all the other artists, but we very rarely got to do much of that. It was like you'd be exhausted from being in the convention all day. So we kind of took this like multi-day convention format and flipped it on its head. And so we have a 1 day convention, and then we all go hang out in the woods together and do workshops and have kind of a professional artist retreat, play board games and just get silly. So
that's kind of awesome. Yeah. So, because the public facing event is at the State Museum. And then I've known some people who've done the camp. Like you all like get out there and just kind of become like a little,
get
it's
a
like
little
a
feral.
Go-away camp.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
That's kind of fun. Are people just like in corners drawing and like, doing stuff, sharing their techniques and things like that?
Yeah, so there's in some ways it's very formal, in some ways it's very informal. There's like, we'll have, you know, you'll have like a panel discussion, but it's a bunch of people sitting around on logs or whatever. And
very Alaska-style discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that. That's so cool. So, and this is going to be from 10 to 5 at the State Museum.
Yeah, so the MiniCon is our public-facing convention, 10 to 5 at the Alaska State Museum. We're going to be, the place is going to be packed. We've got like 60-some-odd exhibitors in there. Locals exhibiting out next to our outside guests that have come in. We've got, I think there's 55 artists coming in from all over the place.
Oh, wow.
Some from Alaska, many from out of state.
And there's like book signings and stuff, right?
Book signings
and workshops.
Signed by people. Absolutely, yeah. And if you're interested in making comics or learning techniques and skills, there's going to be workshops on like using Procreate, demos for animation. You know, there's going to be a kind of a long making comics workshop in the morning. So if you or someone you know is really interested in jumping in and making something or learning more about like paper craft, for example, Sherry McDonald is going to do a pop-up book demo. And
ooh,
so there's
fun.
All kinds of things. And so good chance to come down and engage with, you know, meet people and take a workshop, do a talk.
It's very cool because I am not a maker of the art or a comic artist or anything, but what's cool about it, I go every year and it's just great to see all of the stuff. So it really goes from like, you can just be an enthusiast of comics and or stickers galore. You can spend a lot of money on stickers at MiniCon.
That's true.
Yes. There's a lot of stickers for your water bottles and et cetera. But you can also like, you know, pop into a workshop and just learn how the artists are doing the thing that they're doing. Or if you don't want to engage in that part, you can just go to the booth part and then take off. But you can also, for those who are in the art, they can actually learn. Or if you're interested in learning, there's so much you could take away from this 1 day, which is just kind of cool.
I would say it's a slippery slope. Like you slowly, you learn how to do the art, and then all of a sudden you can do it.
And then you're in it.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like Ren and Kat, that's probably been your experience. As you, like, how did you guys get into making comics and going on conventions and doing all this stuff?
I went to the Portland Zine Symposium about 7 years ago, and I realized that you can just do it. Nobody needs to give you permission to make comics. You can make whatever you want to make at any time and print it and staple it and give it to your friends. And it kind of just snowballed from there.
Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah, what about you?
So I'm dyslexic.
Yeah.
And I discovered from a very wonderful librarian when I was in elementary school. Mm-hmm. She figured out that I was having a trouble putting language together. So she lent me a copy of Calvin and Hobbes, and through the graphic of being able to see what Calvin and Hobbes were doing and the corresponding word balloons, I was able to start putting meaning to words together.
Oh, nice.
So I always drew comics trying to imitate Bill Watterson from Calvin and Hobbes, and it just kind of stayed as a hobby. I kept doing it. And then due to just fun job shenanigans, I ended up becoming a professional cartoonist. And now I teach comics and cartooning to kids 8 to 12 in my hometown of Issaquah, Washington.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's really cool. What a journey.
It is quite a journey. But I like visiting classrooms, which is one of the reasons why I came super early. Because MiniCon is awesome, but I arrived, it's Wednesday, that's because I'm going to go visit a bunch of other classrooms and teach throughout the week. And I love just
introducing kids to the art of graphic novel making and sequential art.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And Ren, back to you for a second. I noticed also in your bio that you said, you know, zines for life, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you got started in that in terms of, like, I know you said it's anybody could do it and you were doing it for your friends, but now what are you doing? Are you, like, taking it to the extreme in some way, or what do you do on a daily with this?
So I try to make a couple of zines a year. Zines are independently published, can be anything. It can be literature, collections of poems. For me, it's usually comics. That's my preference. I try to make a few zines every year. That's just, like, really easy to make, cheap to make, cheap to produce, comics and short form stories. And when I'm not doing that, I'm working on longer form stories like web comics, graphic novels. I'm very self-indulgent with my work, and I think that my start working in zines kind of contributes to that. I make fantasy, romance, adventure, drama, pretty much anything I want to make.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, the topics, you know, we could talk about this a little bit, which is so interesting because the form is, you know, comic or cartoon or anime, whatever people want to call it. But the subject matter can be so broad. Like with you, Kat, you were saying, like, it helped you learn how to process language and
yes.
words and sort of become that. And then you can also explore other themes in through the work and different. Does, like, your zines take on different themes each time, Ren? Like, how do you come up with an idea, or is there story based, or how does it work?
Basically, if there's something that I want to post on the internet, I say, let me turn this into a comic first. And having that filter like, really helps. My zines vary from, like, exploration of gender to how to file taxes as a freelancer, which is a really boring one.
No, that's important, though.
It's really important. There's tips and tricks out there. Also, like, lifting weights, even though you're an artist, you got to take care of your body.
Mm.
You can be an artist and a jock. It's true. My zines kind of allow for that exploration of, like, lots of different subjects that I'm passionate about that I want to share with people my perspective on.
I love that because I think sometimes you get the image of, you know, there's an artist at a desk and there's just, like, pizza boxes and Coca-Cola
right.
and, you know, Fruit Loops and stuff hanging around, but you actually need to, like, take care of
right.
yourself.
Drawing is a very physical job.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hours holding one position, repetitive motion. And if you take good care of the limbs and joints that are associated with drawing, you will feel a lot less back pain.
Yeah, nice. Kat, so what are you going to be? I know you came early. You're both early,
mm-hmm.
which is great. So you're going to be going into some of the schools or some of the classrooms and talking a little bit about artwork?
Yeah, so I talk about working professionally as a cartoonist, but I also work with the students to make zines. We still talk about zines.
Yeah.
They're super popular. So I make with the students a 8-page zine, and then I share it with the school once we're done.
Oh.
So depending on the classroom size, we may or may not break it into groups. I am just the artist. The students tell me what to draw.
Mm.
So we work as a collaborative effort to write a 3-act story in 8 pages.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. It sounds super complicated, but we make the stories very simple. So last year, for example, I went to the elementary school. It's KHE, and I can't remember.
Coctcoohin, maybe?
Yes, exactly. Oh. I visited them. And we wrote a story where a pencil is trying to save its eraser friend and uses a post-it note as a glider to get to it.
I love
so it. So it's a very simple and short story,
mm.
but it is introducing or at least exercising those creative writing parts of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just illustrated it and gave it to the librarians.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And I think you have
yeah,
some examples
these,
here.
Yeah, I did bring some samples.
Oh,
I know, great
cool.
for radio, everyone.
Yeah.
But,
we're streaming too. You can hold it up to the camera of this side over there and see if people can see the scenes. But these are really cool.
Yeah, these are 2.5 by 3-inch zines, and they're 8 pages. And then I have a mini comic.
Okay, I see. Awesome. That's really cool.
And
These are all based on, off of my series Dinosaur Necromancer, but they are rated E for everyone.
Nice.
Everyone can read them and enjoy them.
I have a question for you because I love the name of this press, Corpse Flower Press. So tell me how you got – so it's interesting because you started as like a cartoonist and then now you're like teaching, but you're also running a publication press. Like tell me how you got started in that.
So I do have a background in traditional publishing. I used to work with Schiffer Publishing to write haunted history books around the Midwest. And I took that education I got from working with them to establish my own independent publishing label for comics, zines, and mini comics.
Oh.
And the first series we did was called the Cincinnati Cabinet of Curiosities. And I hired artists and writers to retell the ghost stories, urban legends, and the creepy cryptids that are in Southwest Ohio, because for some reason around Cincinnati, we have a lot of cryptids. We really love our strange and spooky things in the woods. And it was wonderful. We did three issues. They came out between 2020 and 2025. Mm. And I hired in total about 16 different artists and writer teams to produce it. Corpse Flower Press is because no one else would be interested in taking this work. It's an anthology series. A lot of traditional publishers don't like that. And at the time when we were establishing the press, our Corpse Flower Morticia was blooming in the Cincinnati Zoo. So I'm like, oh, well, I love creepy things. And I also really love plants. So we're going with Corpse Flower Press.
I love that. That is so cool. And Ren, what brought you into Juno early?
Wanted to go on some hiking trails before getting settled doing the school visits and the...
So you're doing some school visits as well?
I am. It's I'm doing one at the high school just down the road here. And I'm doing it with Ryan Dunleavy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Ryan. No relation for any Alaskans listening.
And then and on Saturday, what will you both be doing at the actual day of the mini-con? I know you're probably going to go camping and do all those fun things, but for public facing, will you have booths? Will we be able to meet you on Saturday? Do you have some book signings or zine signings? What's going to be happening on Saturday? Let me start with you, Ren.
Yeah, I will be signing books at the Alaska Robotics table at 11 a.m. And then for the rest of the day, you can find me at my table. I think I'm going to be on the second floor, so come find me.
Awesome. That's so cool. And what about you?
I will also be at the comic fair and also on the second floor doing book signings. And I also have commissions.
Okay.
So if people really love dinosaurs, you can come find me and I will draw you dinosaurs.
You'll draw a dinosaur that I describe to you?
I can.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And I am on the hunt to learn about Alaska's dinosaurs because I heard that there are some.
Yeah.
And I want to learn more about them.
Okay. That's so awesome. And Pat, before we end today, can you give us a little bit of information on some workshops that are going to be going on Saturday? Is there like a schedule we can get somewhere too?
Yes, please go to our website, minicon.alaskarobotics.com. There's a whole schedule on there of everything that's happening throughout the day. But just really briefly, there's a making comics workshop. There's build a character where you get to work with Jillian Gertz to design characters. A couple of folks talking about the process of making their particular books and going through the different publishing processes. If you're interested in publishing, it's a great way to talk to someone about that. Animation demos. We're going to have a cosplay life drawing session. So if you're someone that just likes to get dressed up for these things, come and pose and have amazing artists draw you. Like, that's pretty cool. In the classroom, we're going to have working with Procreate, which is a really popular drawing program. We're going to have a writing exercise with Sarah Ryan. So if you're more interested in the writing side of things, we've got that covered. There's going to be some game demos, and a bunch of the Platypus guys are going to be upstairs demoing games.
Oh, yeah.
But then also some of the Mike Hyman, who's a local game developer, and then David Malky, who's just developed a great kind of exquisite corpse sort of make-a-monster game. They're going to be demoing new games upstairs.
Ooh, fun.
In the library. So, yeah, just a ton of stuff to do, and all throughout the day from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Yeah, and as Pat said, you go to minicon.alaskarobotics.com. And I love the idea because both of our artist friends here today, Kat and Ren, you're making the content, right? You're not waiting for somebody to say, hey, let me publish this for you, or, you know, like all those old models that are sort of like just blow them up, right? Mm-hmm. Like make it happen yourself, you know? I mean, you start your own press company because nobody else will take it.
Yeah.
You know, zines every year because it's affordable to do and also a good way to get the message out or get the topics out there and get the sort of the, it feels like zines are underground.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, zines are like under. I remember them from when I was a teenager. Like the zine, you know, there was no internet or nothing then. You had to like figure out how to get a copy of the zine, you know, the local zine with all the cool musicians in it. So that's really awesome. Well, thank you so much, Gunnar Cheese, for being here and sharing your stories with us. I can't wait to walk around on Saturday and see your booths and find out what you're all working on, and as the public will as well. Pat, you and Aaron put together this mini con every year. It's so awesome. It's a wonderful addition to the community of Juneau. Thank you for doing that, Gunnar Cheese.
Yeah, thank you, and thanks to the Friends of the Juneau Public Library and the State Museum for hosting us.
Absolutely. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. I really appreciate you all being here. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com.
You're listening to Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. What you were hearing there was a little bit of the music from this weekend's Juneau Dance Theater's Spring Showcase. If you were watching the live stream, you were also seeing a little video of the folks dancing around in there, which is really kind of cool. So how do you say this, Bridget? Is it Coppelia?
I say Coppelia.
What do you say? Coppelia? Okay.
Coppelia.
So Coppelia is this weekend. It's May 8th and 9th. That's Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. And then May 9th and 10th, which is Saturday and Sunday at 2 p.m. So you've got four chances to catch it over there at Juneau Douglas High School, Yedda'a Kathle. And I have in the studio with me now, I have Bridget Luan from the executive director of the Juneau Dance Theater. And I also have Trevor Pinter Parsons. Welcome in. Gunnar Cheese, Wasiti. How are you, Trevor?
I'm doing so well. Thanks for having us.
And Bridget, welcome back.
Thank you, Boston. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the Spring Showcase, Bridget.
Well, you know us. We like to be ambitious with our endeavors, and we have taken on this full-length ballet, Coppelia. It's from the 1870s. Interestingly, the author's the same as Nutcracker, the E.T.A. Hoffman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I discovered that early in the process. So this is a great story ballet. We're doing it in three acts. It's funny. Engaging, and there's lots of dancing. We've got a cast of 95.
What?
And this show, in the past, we've had to do other rep with our with whatever story ballet we're doing, but Coppelia, because it's three acts, it's the whole show.
It's big enough to be
the whole
thing.
Yeah, it runs about an hour and 45 minutes with intermission.
Oh, wow.
And it's a pretty great deal. So we have Trevor here, who is dancing the role of Franz. He's the young lover, Swanilda's fiance.
I love the subtitle here, a classical comic ballet full of misunderstandings, playful chaos, and theatrical charm. That's setting us up for some cool expectations, I think. That's kind of fun. And it's directed by Anna Cordova.
Yes. So Anna is previously Anna McDowell. You've heard that name a bunch.
Yeah, sure.
Recently married and changed her name. And she took over as our principal teacher and ballet master last August. So this is her first time directing our spring showcase and setting the whole ballet on our students. She's choreographed for us before, but this is her first kind of, this is her baby.
And this has an amazing, I'm still 95 people, which I'm just like, I can't imagine backstage over there at Ida Cathley Auditorium. Like, it's going to be a madhouse, because you have ages, like, from the little ones, like 3 years old, up to, what's the oldest person in the cast this time around?
I'm going to say that that's an undisclosed number.
Undisclosed.
I'll give you a hint. Janice Hurley is Dr. Coppelius, and think mad scientist, mad inventor, Janice.
Oh, that's so funny.
Dr. Coppelius is the quirky toy maker, and I don't know if anyone knows Janice's age.
Well, and you shouldn't properly ask that. I'm imagining like a very teased hairdo or something. That's
exactly
kind of
right.
That's,
yeah, and we have really an cute entire adult ballet class that's performing with us. So,
what?
Yeah, we've got 12 adults that participate in our adult ballet track, and they are in the show with us. And then, as you mentioned, the little ones, the little babies, ages 3 to 5, they come in. Well, I don't want to give away the story. But
yeah, because it's just one of those aw cute moments.
Yeah,
kind of, you know,
exactly.
Want to give away. Again, you have four chances to catch this show this weekend, May 8th and 9th at 7 p.m., and then May 9th and 10th at 2 p.m. And, of course, you can go to junodance.org to find out information and or secure yourself a seat, as it were. So, Trevor, you are here visiting. Have you been to Juneau before?
I've never been to Juneau. I've never been to Alaska before this, and I've been really enjoying it.
Wow, that's amazing. So how long have you been here?
I've been here for about maybe a week and a half so far.
Oh, that's so great. That's really cool. And where do you come from?
I'm coming from Indianapolis. I dance professionally with the Indianapolis Ballet, but I am originally from Massachusetts.
Okay. All right. So you're making your way from the East Coast. You live in the Midwest now, and then now you're coming up here, Northwest.
Mm-hmm,
Northwest, best.
Agree.
Anyway, so how did you find out about this gig, and did Bridget reach out, or what happened? How did you get this gig?
Well, if you have seen the Juno Dance Theater's Nutcracker before, you might remember one of the guest artists, Lauren Fadley.
Okay.
She's a teacher of mine at Indianapolis. And she reached out. She said there's a great opportunity to travel to Alaska, which already I said, okay.
That's all you need to hear,
you
really
don't need to tell me the details.
She's like, go Northwest, young man.
Yep.
And
so that was that.
That's cool. So how did you get started in ballet?
I think it's a classic tale for young men in ballet. Of my sister was in the Nutcracker, they needed an extra boy for the party scene.
Of course, like, they always need extra boys, right, Bridget?
Uh-huh. They were like, you just have to be like scenery in the back. And I got on stage and I was like, no, I want to be more than scenery.
You were watching your sister do more and you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't seem right. I got to do it. How old were you when you did that?
I think I was about 12.
12.
I grew up as a major baseball kid. So
okay.
Splitting time between that.
So you split. Then after you discovered ballet, did you continue to do both baseball and ballet?
Mm-hmm. And wow. I would always tell my parents to not tell anyone. I was like, oh, keep it on the low key. But then they would be like, Trevor, you have to stop doing spins in the outfield if you don't want people to know that you're a ballet dancer now.
I'm sure there could be some serious razzing in the dugout, right? I'm sure.
Yeah.
But so you balanced those for a while, but then you decided to take this path as a professional ballet dancer. I'm really curious about that because I know that a lot of our young students here, they start sometimes, Bridget, at the three-year-old age. They go through it all the way till they're, you know, graduating high school, and then some continue on and go study in school and things like that. But how difficult is it, Trevor, as a – I mean, you're in a secure position now, right?
Yes.
At least as secure as it can be. But how does it work when you first start? Did you go to school for it before you started this job, or how did that work?
Personally, I was able to just – do like after school dance training all the way through high school. Mm-hmm. And then after high school, I got a traineeship at a professional company. I think one of the kind of very important aspects of growing up, especially like to loop this back to Coppelia, is even if you're a three-year-old in this show, you get to see the 12-year-olds dancing, and you get to see the seniors dancing, and you get to have or see the professionals dancing. Mm-hmm. And you get to have a vision of what it's like to scale, or you get to see the adults dancing who are just doing it recreationally, and mm-hmm. you get to see like the possibilities of where you want your ballet training to go. So I think that's something that I am lucky to have gotten growing up, and I think that the kids at Juno Dance Theater are might not know it now, but will come to appreciate that they're getting now. So
yeah, that's really cool. And so when you say to yourself, okay, I want to pursue this. I'm going to get this this opportunity that you got. How did your parents react to that? Were they going, where's college, Trevor? Or is college – because you know what? I mean, college can come anytime, mm-hmm. right? Because your body, you can't ballet forever,
no,
right?
No, you cannot.
You can then teach ballet probably.
Yeah.
But like at this point in your life, you're young, your body's nimble. This is the time to do it, right?
Yes,
so 100%. How did your parents take it?
They loved it. My mom grew up always wanting to be a theater thespian.
Sure, yeah.
She wanted to be that, and she has done so many things. She pursued it through her 30s, and then she jokes that she's like, I put in so much work to not push my dreams onto my kid just for my son to follow it anyway.
Yeah, right.
So they loved it.
Yeah, that's cool.
The sign for me was whenever I would tell people like the woman at church, just like, oh, what are you up to? And I was like, oh, I'm going to try and be a professional ballet dancer. They'd be like, that's it. Follow your dreams. Now's the time to do it. You got it exactly yeah. right. Some people do go to college and then pursue ballet.
Right.
There's a lot of paths, but.
Yeah. Well, I know we're going to talk. I want to talk about the story of Coppelia here in just a second, but one more question for you. So just give us a sense of, because I'm sure you're sharing this with the students, or if you're doing any like, you know, high school kind of teaching or whatever, residencies, whatnot. What is life like on a daily basis for you at the, is it Indiana? Is that where you said you are?
Mm-hmm.
Indiana, what is it, the ballet?
Yeah, the Indiana ballet.
So what is daily life like? What is it that you do each day?
It's like remarkably, I mean, I joke that it's a 9 to 5 because every day I'm in the studio like 9:30 to 5, Monday through Friday, just like you would any other job. But every day is a ballet class, trying to hone your technique, trying to get better. And then just usually it takes around like a month and a half to get prepared a rehearsal process for a show. And then you get a week off, let the body, you know, take a nice Epsom salt bath, recuperate, try and get any ailments gone. But it really is just like a dream job.
That's awesome. And then do you tour at all with them, or is it mostly a sit down in Indiana there?
It's mostly a sit down in Indianapolis, and then occasionally it is a go deeper into Indiana type of tour.
Oh, sure.
I'm very, very appreciative that I got an opportunity to travel to somewhere so beautiful and like.
Well, welcome to Juno, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be so cool. We get to see you this weekend in the show. So, Bridget, tell me a little bit about the story of Coppelia. What is the story here that people would be watching?
Sure. Let's see. There's a toy maker. and he's got a toy shop. let's see. I guess, Franz, you kind of carry a lot of the story. So,
Franz
and Swanhilda are love interests. They're like teenagers, young lovers. And they, I think Swanhilda catches you flirting with this woman up in a balcony.
Mm.
So Swanhilda and her friends devise a plan to break into the toy shop and confront this woman. Step off, girl.
Talking to Franz, right? Though, first of all, right? Like, hello.
But Swanhilda and her friends discover that Coppelia is actually a life-size doll and not a real person.
I see.
So then they all kind of mock you a little bit.
Yeah.
For flirting with a doll.
Did he know it was a doll at the time? He did not. No. Okay. So still maybe not the nicest boy, Franz, flirting with somebody else.
But let's see. Coppelius returns home, and that's where the playful chaos happens. Eccentric toy maker catches these kids in the toy shop, and they play a prank on him. And Swanhilda switches clothes with Coppelia and tricks him into thinking that he brought the doll to life. There's a whole little story there where they play a trick on Dr. Coppelius. But then I think everything is resolved in Act 3. There's a wedding. There's lots more dancing.
Happiness ensues, right?
Yes, exactly. It's great fun. There's lots of physical comedy. The dancing is exquisite. Lots of big core pieces, waltzes. There's character dancing. The music that underscores that video you were playing, the mazurka.
Mm.
And all levels of the school are in the show.
That is so cool. Yeah, this is... And then you've mentioned Janice Hurley's going to be in the show.
She is.
That's really cool. And then, of course, all the little ones in there as well. So it's a wonderful weekend of dance ahead for Juno Dance Theater Spring Showcase. It's the classic ballet Coppelia. It's going to be Friday and Saturday at 7 and Saturday and Sunday at 2 over at JDHS Yada Katle. You can go to junodance.org to get more information. Trevor, it was a pleasure to meet you. And thank you I'm glad for teachers and mentors saying, hey, go have this experience, right? Come to Alaska. And I know that not only are you getting the benefit of the experience here, but the fact that the students who are in the Juno Dance School are getting to see what life is like as a young artist and something, if they want to continue to pursue it, they can. But it's also just nice to have people who are enthusiasts who appreciate the dance, you know, and become good audience members.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because pursuing it is not for everybody. Because it can be difficult. Like, I mean, you've got a good gig. But what happens if the gig goes up? Then you got to find another gig.
Yeah, and unfortunately, right? We're seeing that ballet companies are closing and all kinds of arts opportunities are going away in a blink. So, you have to enjoy it and enjoy the blessings while you have them.
Absolutely. Well, and Juno Dance Theater continues to thrive and is an important part of our community. And Bridget, you've been doing it for a long time over there, making it happen. So going to cheese for that. I really appreciate y'all coming in today. Go to junodance.org to find out more information.
Thank you.
Going to cheese. This is Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, the AK Mural Project, which is up now. They'll come in and talk about that, which opened on First Friday last week. Also, Mudrooms is having a cool new event called Sip and Tell. We'll find out more about that tomorrow on Juno Afternoon, which airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK 91.7 Juno Ok Bay. Hello out the road. You can find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Come on the show. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you. Also, Country Financial, Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Tongass Federal Credit Union. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh, have a wonderful Wednesday evening.